What's up, Myco family? Van from Mycotrophic here. Welcome back to my podcast, where together we are going to grow in mind, body, spirit, and mushroom. In the world of mushrooms, there's the macro, but more importantly, there's the micro. And today, I have on the show for you guys someone I would call a subject matter expert in microdosing. Microdosing changed his life. He actually didn't even try mushrooms until he was at the age of 55, which is pretty awesome. I want to kind of start there in a moment, but to digress, experienced in sports producing, in television, and had quite the life shift into now teaching and speaking on the benefits of microdosing psilocybin. We have today Cesar Marin of Cultivating Wisdom. How are you, brother?
Van, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored. I'm thrilled to be here to share this message of awakening, this message of just how these plants have completely changed our lives with you. And, you know, just to discuss how wonderful a time we live in, that we can openly talk about healing properties through plant medicine. So I think I appreciate what you're doing. I've been a big fan. That's why, again, like I said, I'm honored to be on here with you. And again, just excited about sharing these stories.
Thank you for being here today, man. So I came across your page just a few short weeks ago. And as soon as I like saw your message and seeing what you were talking about, I had to have you on the show. I think it's really important, not just for like the quote younger demographics to be aware of psychedelics. And I think there's a bunch of like negative connotations and stigmas, but I think one of the stigmas that's normalized that it's a younger generation or like, you know, younger human kind of a thing, where everyone, in my opinion, has things to work on. You can call it traumas, baggage, et cetera, you know? So it's really important. And it kind of hits home because my father is the same age as you.
Okay.
And he just recently in this last year, after, you know, me being a grower for something like 8 years.
Yeah.
He finally decided to try them, came up to me and wanted to try them finally. And I was just blown away. Never in my life thought he would do it. And since then, he's had this, like, you know, I can see the seed of awareness in him.
Yes.
And it's incredible. So, yeah. So first and foremost, I kind of in your intro brought up the fact that you didn't try mushrooms until you were 55, if I'm correct, right? Right.
Correct. Yes. I was 54, about to turn 55. So yes, 50. Yeah. I was 55. Yes. Yes. Yes, for sure.
And this is after growing up in Miami and you had access to, you know, multiple types of entheogens or substances and things. And correct. I get that. Everyone, correct. You know, I dabbled too, of course. What was the precursor to why you wanted to shift into or try mushrooms, or what was like the curiosity? Where did that start?
So, again, like a lot of people, my generation, a lot of people, Generation Xers, a lot of people, like you said, like your dad, we were stigmatized that psychedelics are bad. You know, acid is bad. LSD is bad. You know, mushrooms are bad. Those are for hippies. That's for people that go to Grateful Dead concerts. So for a lot of us, it was like, oh, whatever. You know, still, I like you said, I grew up in Miami in the 80s. So there was enough substance to, you know, float around. And I did, I was a person who enjoyed cannabis and got to the point where cannabis started to control me. Right. It became a habit. It became an addiction. And people will say, oh, no, well, cannabis isn't habit forming. It's not. Everything is habit forming. Let's be honest. Yep. So yes, I had dabbled in other realms, but psychedelics had never called to me. Psychedelics, I'd never had a psychedelic experience, like you said. And it's funny because it was out of a recreational curiosity, right? It was like, I wanted another high. I had gotten to the point where the cannabis was talking to me. Get up, get high, go to work, get high. If you're at work, you know what? Go to lunch, you know, get a little high. You know what I mean? To leave work, get high. You're at home. Hey, you know what? I got to go to the supermarket. For what? I got to go get eggs. Bullshit. You know, you went to go get high. Right? So that's what my life had sort of turned into. So that first someone saying, I had an amazing experience with psilocybin. It was like, I felt like a child. Like, it was incredible. It was amazing. I was like, wait a minute. What are you talking about? There's a different high? Because the cannabis isn't really doing it for me right now. To be honest, I smoke a lot of weed to sort of feel something. Maybe that's it. And it wasn't funny. It was until a couple of weeks later where I'm on a bike ride in Atlanta with a whole bunch of people. It's like 300 of us. And I happen to ride next to a friend of mine who has a smile, giddy, like ear to ear smile. And I'm like, dude, what's up? And he's like, I just had some mushrooms and I feel like a child riding his bike for the first time. I was like, what? And I was like, why are these mushrooms calling to me? So Van, it's crazy because again, my first dive into psychedelics or my first try of a psychedelic was out of a recreational curiosity. And it's funny because I had a piece of the chocolate bar. I didn't have the whole chocolate bar. I didn't have half the chocolate. I was like, I thought it was like cannabis. You don't have to smoke the whole joint to get high. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You get high. So hence Pecones, to me, my first ever try of a psychedelic was actually a microdose, which then became what, you know, what changed my life. But yeah. It was crazy because that day was like, I felt something, but it wasn't, you know, where were the hallucinations? Where were all these, you know, figures I was supposed to see? Where was all this, you know, I don't know, what happened? And it was funny because it wasn't until a week later, the medicine was like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You'll figure it out. And a week later, I have half of the chocolate bar. And again, I'm on this Monday. It was the Monday before Halloween. So imagine all the houses are decorated. We're riding around downtown Atlanta. We're taking over the city. And all of a sudden, it just kicks in. I have my own bicycle day. Go figure. Bicycle day. Yeah. I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I go, wait a minute. That's what my hands feel like. And that's what it feels like when my lungs are full of air.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that that tree has 45 shades of green. And that these people around me are beautiful, and something was awakened. Something was like, what have you been asleep to? Like, look at what's around you. Look, be awake to what's going on. And what's funny, man, because as I'm driving home and the streetlights are going off as fireworks, something in me, this consciousness said, what are you doing? Why are you driving this way? And you know, any other substance, you know how that is. Hey, alcohol, I've driven worse than this. You know what I mean? We're going to make it home. Cannabis, there's nobody around. There's no cops around. Light that up right now. Something said, why are you driving this way? Like, what is it that you're doing? And that's what opened me up to, hey, wait a minute. As a journalist, what just happened? What did these substances do to me? What? The psychedelics are being used as medicine? No. For PTSD? For anxiety, for depression, and then I come across this term microdosing. And wait a minute, people are using microdosing to get over their substance dependency. And that's when it all opened up. And that's when my life completely changed. And at the same time, I'm working at CNN. And the medicine came right, Van, when I'm about to get laid off from work. Mm. I'm about to lose my job at CNN where I'd been for 25 years, right? Everything that identified me as a human, half my adult life was spent at CNN. Take it away from me. And the medicine said, don't worry about it, buddy. Keep your feet on the ground. Take a deep breath, as deep as you can. We're going to close this 25-year chapter, and we're going to start a new one. We're going to start a brand new chapter. And that's where I am right now, talking to you in this wonderful new chapter.
Isn't that amazing how things fall down to make room for a new path?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. It definitely resonates. It's something in that same fashion is happening now. I won't get into the details, but that's awesome. So you had this like really successful career at CNN, and did it kind of come out of nowhere? Was it like, was it a mass layoff? Was it particularly because of the time and service you had there? What did that look like?
So Discovery had bought WarnerMedia. WarnerMedia owns CNN. Mm-hmm. And something inside of me was like, dude, you're going to end up being a number on a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some suits somewhere in some big office in New York somewhere, and they're going to be going down the line and they're going to say, number 67, how long has he been here? 25 years? How much is he making? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. We know everybody loves him. The security guards know when his birthday is. That's how much everyone loves him. Yeah. But this is a business. I mean, can't we get two AI, you know, and some couple of associate producers to do what he's doing? I mean, he's not a senior vice president executive of programming. Gotcha. So we got to cut bait. And it was at that moment. And imagine, Van, you're 55 years old, bro. You lose your job where you've been for 25 years. So your skills are limited. Let's be honest. Mm. It's not like you did a whole bunch of jobs. You know, who's hiring? TV? What is that? Do you watch TV? How many times have you sat down, Van, and said, hey, it's 6:30. I got to watch the news. When?
I'm a YouTube guy for sure. Like that's my daily consumption of content. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, who's hiring that? What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. And look, I could have easily sat in a, and drowned in a sea of depression.
Yeah.
if I would have taken this job, if I would have taken that one, if I would have taken my boss flowers, if maybe I would have whatever, if maybe what? Or even worse, I could have sat in a storm of anxiety.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? What's going to happen? The first thing that's going to happen is you're going to live your life right now, today. Because you know when the best day of your life was? Not 10 years ago when you're on the Caribbean and it was whatever, it's all you can eat buffet and your kids. No, because your kids are grown. You wouldn't sit in front of all you can eat buffet right now. So how can that be? The best day of your life is right now, this moment. Exactly. Nothing else. Best moment of your life.
That's right.
It's the only one that exists.
That's right. Speaking of buffet, there was something I read, Buffet Table of Wisdom. What does that mean to you?
So crazy story, Van. When I get into microdosing, I had my first experience, right? Half a chocolate bar. Figured, you know, most chocolate bars have 3.5 grams, 4 grams of psilocybin. So it's a good dosage, but it wasn't a deep dose, right? And again, that opened up the curiosity. That was like, okay, whatever. Oh, microdosing. And again, my relationship or my programming of a big heroic journey was I want to get high. I didn't understand it yet. I didn't understand that this is, no, people can use these to be enlightened. So to me, that wasn't like a thing yet. And as I start to microdose a couple weeks into it, I'm watching an interview between Deepak Chopra and Paul Stamets, and they're talking about heroic journeys. And I said, that's it. That's the one. I'm ready. Yeah. And it was a couple of days before my 55th birthday, actually, which is funny. And that was it. I'm going to answer your question to the buffet table of wisdom. Sure. I tell people the podium of my life, Van, birth of my kids, no matter what, that's top. That's gold medal. You know what I mean? Number two, meeting the love of my life after the age of 50. You know what I mean? Beautiful person who's come into my life, who I know is going to be there. Number three, that 55th birthday journey, because that was
wow.
And it starts by the medicine kicks in, right? And all I hear is, go lie on the dining room table. And I'm like, what? Go lie on the dining room table. And I'm like, okay, I guess. Okay, whatever. And I sit there and I lie on the dining room table, and my wife, she's sitting for me, right? Because it's about love. It's about having someone who cares about you, right? To be there with you. I'm like sitting there, I go, baby, don't worry. I don't have my feet on the table. And I start cracking up and I start laughing. And all I hear is, you need to go out and set buffet tables of wisdom to cultivate a better future, right? That we have these conversations. Van, you and I are right now, we're at a buffet table of wisdom. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right. We're sharing wisdom that we have. And wisdom isn't, you know what, I know how to create a nuclear bomb. No. Or I know relativity. Or I know physics. No. Wisdom comes from experience, from life, from, you know what I mean? My wisdom as someone who has gray hair, someone who's been divorced, as someone whose kids are older, as someone who's lost their job. That wisdom that I might have, that if I cultivate that with other people, that's how we nurture this humanity that we have, that we need to protect. So that's where that came from. So it's something that I love to live by, set buffet tables of wisdom to cultivate a better future. It's part of our slogan. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about. It's about, you know what, sometimes let's just put our phones down for 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Let's sit in front of the person who's in front of us and let's just share a little bit of wisdom with them.
Amazing. Yeah. I read that and I was like, I like that. I'm interested to know about, so like you had this experience and you were, you know, in a place where you had a bunch of time and space to create this message and to get out there and start speaking about it. What were some of the first, what was your outreach like locally and or online, and how did that start for you?
So it was crazy because, you know, the part of the intentions to start microdosing was like, what happens next? Like, what happens after CNN? Like, what do I do?
Yeah.
Like, what do I do? Right. And in this, I realized that my life had changed. Like, the cannabis stopped being part of my life. Mm. Right? I was more awake. I was more, okay, what do we do? And I was like, well, this microdosing has really changed me. Like, this, the fact that I'm using psychedelics, I feel like a better person. Like, I want to let people know that psychedelics aren't bad. They're not just for tripping. They're for really enhancing who you are. And I want to wear a shirt. I want to buy something that shows that I'm using mushrooms or like, you know, and everything out there was very trippy.
Yeah.
It was very psychedelic-ish. It was a very tie-dye. And Van, let's be honest, a guy, gray hair, like me, okay, comes up to you with a tie-dye shirt and even says microdosing with a tie-dye shirt on it and starts having a conversation with you about psychedelics and about how they're changing. What are most people going to say? Listen, hippie. Listen, stoner.
I totally agree. Out
back in the woods, listen to your Grateful Dead 8-track tapes and come back. Yeah. Come back when you're not high and maybe we can have an adult conversation. No, right. And that's why that necessity for something was the birth of Cultivating Wisdom, the apparel brand, right? Mm-hmm. Did I wear something like this? So someone says, do you microdose? Yeah, I've heard about that. I've read about that. Can you cultivate me with some wisdom so that I can smile like you're smiling? Or so what you do is you open up the community for more people to come in and ask questions. There's a lot of people that are curious, but they don't know who to ask. And if they see someone like me, you know what? Look, that dude's got a suit on. He's got a jacket on. I could talk to him. If he's sitting there with some tie-dye stuff on, he's going to try to sell me some mushroom. No. So And the other thing is it then solidifies the community, right? Because that's what it's about. I have a great story of a woman comes up to me in the supermarket. She goes, do you microdose? And I went, yes. How can you tell? Because of my smile. She said, no, because of your shirt, dumbass. And I went, oh, okay. I get it. She goes, I used to have a bottle of wine every day. Come home, glass of wine. You know what I mean? Let me have a second one. Oh, I wasn't going to leave what's up in the bottle. So she goes, now I microdose every 3 days. I'm more present for myself. I'm more present for my husband. I'm more present at work. I'm more present for my kids. So then you bring people who are already in the community and you embrace them because maybe she says, you know what? I've been microdosing, but I just don't know. Like, you know what? Or someone says, dude, you know what? I started microdosing LSD and it's totally different. Like you focus, you're there, you're in tune. You continue to have these conversations where someone says, dude, you don't look like someone who uses psychedelics. Well, why? What is that person look like? You're a lawyer? Yeah, I'm a lawyer. Oh, you're an entrepreneur? Yeah. Oh, you're a dad? Yes. Oh, you're a son? Yes. You're a father? Yes. And you use psychedelics? Yes. As a life performance enhancer? Yes. Mm. Now you get it. Now, see, those are the conversations. Yeah. So, of course, it was, you know what? We had fun, right? We have stuff like this because what do the mushrooms do? They make sure you have much love, right?
Yes.
You spread much love.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we said, it's about cultivating wisdom. It's about cultivating that wisdom. That's what the mushrooms were. That's what the mushrooms were brought on the earth for.
You know, truly, to cultivate wisdom. That.
Right.
I agree with you on the, like, the appearance factor is so huge, and I see so many brands that I mean, don't get me wrong, everyone's doing their own thing, and I totally accept.
I love tie dye.
Sure,
but just not to have a conversation with somebody.
Yeah, like when I went to like the Billy Strings concert like 2 years ago. Me and all the buddies wore our tie dye, and that's the culture, it's the community. I think it's, you know, there's a time and place for it. But if you have like a business, you're trying to like change people's perspectives, you have to change their narrative by changing their perception. And the tie dye, you know, peace, love, hippie, that's part of it. But I think there's like this advanced, you know, level of it. So
it's like different.
I'm interested in like so you set up a booth and like what kind of conversations do you think you have most common? Like what are some of the most common questions or conversations you're having on a normal basis?
Obviously the number one question is, where do I get my medicine?
Yeah, true.
The response to that is you grow your own.
Yeah.
You grow your own.
Yeah. Right?
There's enough ways out there to grow your own. If you can't, for whatever reason, find someone who's reliable, find someone who you trust, find someone who can guide you a little bit. Don't just go willy nilly and say, oh, you know what? Let me order some chocolates from Joe Shrooms, you know what I mean? And let me sort of see what happens. That's not smart. That's not harm reduction. That's not. So a lot of the questions are, tell me a little bit more about this microdosing thing. It's sort of it's funny because it's twofold because as the apparel brand starts, right, and I start to share my story on social media, I realize that there's this bridge that needs to be gapped between people my generation and psychedelic and plant medicine it's a much better word than look, man, you'll never hear me use the word magic mushrooms. I'm not a fan of the word magic mushrooms.
Nor am I. Yeah, I understand.
The magic comes from the human, right? You and I can sit here and have 10 grams of mushrooms and sit there on the couch and we're going to go somewhere where we might not even imagine. But yeah. The magic is one. Like, we're the magic, right? Mm. We're the magic. So yeah. it's about that. It's about having those conversations, right? That like you said, that we bring that facade down of trippy, psychedelic-ish, tie-dye, whatever, which is part of it. But this isn't, again, it's like I tell people, these are not your 60s psychedelics, okay? This is Johns Hopkins psychedelics. This mm-hmm. is New York University psychedelics.
Right.
This is Emory University Department of Psychedelics psychedelics. This is moms being more present psychedelics. This isn't the 60s. This isn't, and that's, I get it. People, there's a thing there. There's a culture there, but we need to move beyond that. I go back to the same thing. We need PSAs, like I said, saying, look, I'm a father, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a sister, I'm a daughter, I'm the mother of a veteran. And we're using psychedelics. Yes, it's because they make us better people. They make us better humans.
Yeah. In what ways do you think were most pertinent to you? Maybe it was like not consuming as much, you know, alcohol or cannabis, but what were some of the biggest shifts that you saw yourself made? Like, obviously, like you get like injected with like awareness. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to explain to someone who may not understand that like a substance can expand that part of the self. Like it's, I think that's what I'm most curious about, or what's most beautiful about mushrooms is that, like, as an avid meditator for years and then trying mushrooms, I was like, this is like where I've been trying to go. Like I've had peaks and dips into that.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
taking like 2 grams and I was like, I felt like Buddha. And then what's really interesting is that like that stays with you. Self-awareness, you know, it gets installed and doesn't really go away, you know? So then you're able to kind of observe your life. What were some of like the biggest changes that you made when you started to like regularly microdose in your life?
You hit the nail right on the head. It's self-awareness. That's it. Yeah. That's it. That's what the key and the goal to microdose is true self-awareness, true, not out, you know, these thoughts, but why am I thinking this way? Like mm-hmm. what has me thinking this way? What has me feeling this way? Again, true mindfulness is, we go back to the same thing. Right now, this moment is the best moment of my life because I'm mindful of right now. If not, then my mind is somewhere in the past or my mind is somewhere in the future, and that's not really being mindful. So it's beautiful that you hit the nail right on the head of what a true, safe, and effective microdosing practice is. Mm. That true mindfulness. People ask me, well, what should I feel? You should feel mindful. You should feel yeah. that right now, this moment is the best moment of your life. Mm. That life is beautiful. That you have everything you need at this moment. That's mindfulness. If anything, that's what microdosing helped me do. And that mindfulness then becomes, okay, so how did it help you curb your dependency to cannabis? Mindfulness is not right now. Not right now. I don't need to get high right now. I'm doing something else. That's called mindfulness. Because if you're not in your mind, then it's very easy. You know what? Let's continue to do whatever is our vice, whatever it is that sort of, you know, pushes those buttons that continuously have us on that hamster wheel, right? Yeah. So I love that you said that. Because that's what it is. It's that continuous flow that you're mindful of the fact that this moment that you're living as a human is beautiful.
Exactly. Yeah, I've just recently like officially gave up cannabis. This is like after, you know, I think I had first started smoking around 14 or probably yeah. 15, 16, yeah. you know, and then obviously I went, you know, 4 years in the military, didn't have cannabis in my life. But then I entered the cannabis industry and it was just like, I like how you said earlier, like, oh, I have to go to the store to get what? Eggs. I'm like, oh, time to get high. Like there was a reason for it everywhere. And up until probably about 4 months ago, I was just like, it doesn't make me feel very good anymore. And microdosing just makes me feel great.
Yeah.
It's like, like how many of these negative things you have to carry with you in your life for how long? And like, how often do you have to observe them to be like, they're not helping me? And what's really cool is like the observation of after you get rid of these things to see like how well your life is going when those things aren't pulling you back, you know, and then, you know, the accumulation of all them together. So,
yeah. Yeah, so it's good. You're right. It's good to sort of look back and say, well, look at where I am right now. And it's which, look, I tell people when people come to me and say, well, so you're never ever going to smoke cannabis again? And I said, that's not what I said.
Yeah, exactly.
One, cannabis doesn't control me. That's number one.
Yeah,
that was like the first situation I needed to deal with. Right now, at this moment, I don't need cannabis. I don't need it. You know what I mean, if there's a situation where, you know what, it was a great conference and whatever, and friends are hanging out, and you know what, someone says, you know what, then what are your intentions? My intentions are just to relax and whatever and be in the moment with my friends, and that's fine. But when there's no intention, when it's just like get up and get high, but again, I'm sure it comes to the moment where it's like you're not really even getting high. It's, you know, when it's there, it's like get up and do it, and especially nowadays, man, because with people with vapes, it's just too easy. It's just too. I was having this discussion. It's funny because look, we are. I'm sure you and I are easily 20 years separated. Easily, if not 30. But you know, when we grew up, it was, you know what I mean. You had to sort of sneak around, and you sort of had to open the whatever the window, and it's just we didn't even spray. It's like now kids get high in the back of their parents' cars. Their parents don't even know. Kids are eating gummies in the back of their parents' car. Yeah. It's like, woo, and parents are like
oblivious, kind of
oblivious. Yeah. So how times have changed, right? And again, how easy it is for that, and especially being in the psychedelic space, it's like, let's make sure we create safe situations, right? Mm-hmm. Let's make sure we have harm reduction as part of the discussions as we move forward in the space. And harm reduction comes in many ways, from packaging to testing to facilitator client relationships to all of it and everything in between. So it's important, like you said, that we step carefully in this space, that there's a lot of things that can be done, a lot of beautiful things that can be done. But, you know, it's at the end of the day, they are psychedelics.
So with that and harm reduction, I think that methodical information that's been, you know, time tested and reviewed and all these things, it's very important. So I want to maybe kind of shift into, you know, we talked about the why, the history as to what got you here. Now, maybe we can give some value in the shape of, like, maybe for someone who hasn't microdosed. I'm sure that most people who are listening to the podcast are in the mushroom community or are interested. Yeah. But I definitely, like, one of my episodes where I just gave my personal perception on microdosing has one of the highest views of all my episodes.
Beautiful.
So even if it's like a brand new listener who wants to get some value out of, like, how does one microdose, like, of course there's like the Paul Stamets stack, everyone's pretty familiar with that. I just actually went and seen him speak this last Thursday.
Beautiful.
He spoke on it a little bit. But what does microdosing look like for Caesar? Like, what is your preferred, you know, amount, or how, what's your frequency, like, what does that look like for you?
So I'm going to preface that by saying two things. One, my protocol is my protocol. Like, my protocol, what works for me works for me.
Right.
My dosage is my dosage. Right. I'm not a fan of people saying, well, this is what works for me, so it's probably going to work for you.
Yeah.
I think that microdosing is in the stages of its infancy, which means that there's a lot of citizen science going on.
Yeah. Right?
There's a lot of tons of citizen science going on. And that's what we all are. We're all citizen scientists. All of us. And the best scientists are the ones that keep the best notes, right? Those are the ones that always figure it out. So I tell people, one, find your flow, right? Start small, you know what I mean? Start on protocols that sort of, you know, the Fatiman protocol, let's say, which one day on, 2 days off, let your body see how it's going to react and play around with it. Look, I've had people who have come and who I've worked with them. And you know, the Fatiman protocol has really, really worked for me with the cannabis, because it was like, you know what? First day, dude, I didn't even think about the cannabis. Second day, okay, yeah, fine, but I need it. Third day, I wish I could get, you don't need to, not right now. Right. So that protocol worked really great for me and for a whole bunch of other people. This person who I was working with said, you know what? I have high deadlines. Like, it's like I have deadlines every day, like 2-3 deadlines every day. And that that protocol that I'm working with, like the first day I'm on, the second day I'm thinking about the deadlines here. The third day it's like, oh God, the deadline is sort of. So I said, well, why don't you work on a protocol that sort of calls for 4 days on, 3 days off, right? The Stamets protocol. Yeah. It was really interesting because a month later he calls me and he says, Caesar, my boss has called me into their office. And I went, what happened? They said, they wanted to find out how my productivity went up 15% in the last month. And he said, I'm just more focused. I come into work focused, man. I'm driving in. I'm already working. Like, yeah. I'm driving. I'm not even thinking. Before I was driving, I was thinking of the deadline. Now I'm just like, pa, 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 pa. He's like, by Thursday comes around, like Friday's like, it's, most of the work's done. You know? Yeah. So again, citizen science, it's flow. And there's, and if you don't keep, you know, one, keeping record of your dosage is incredibly important because there's a difference between, you know, 200 and 250 milligrams. People might think it's like 50 milligrams, like a dusting. It's not the same. And also depending on what strains, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of factors. So the more you keep a journal, the more you say that today I took so much at this time, whether I took it a day, some people prefer to microdose at night. Some people say, you know what, I'm going to microdose at night. You know what I mean? It sort of starts working in the body. I wake up, I don't need an alarm, and I'm fresh. I'm good to go. Some people are like, no, you know what? I prefer to do it on an empty stomach. First thing in the morning, I have my routine, whatever. So it's citizen science. You have to find your flow, right? Find your flow. And you find your flow through experimenting, right? True. Sort of, you know what? I'm going to do the Stamets protocol for 2 weeks and see how that goes. Yeah. And I'm going to write down stuff. And it's sort of, I'm a big believer in prompt journaling. I think that journaling is an incredibly tool to microdosing. And people sometimes get scared. Oh, dude, that journal. So I got to write a book every day? Like I got to. No. You only need three prompts. Number one, what are your intentions today? I want to be a better person. I want to go to the supermarket. I want to smile at five people. I want to get this job done today. I want to make sure that I'm a better dad. Whatever your intentions are. That you, if you don't have intentions first thing in the morning when you get up, what are you going through life with, right? And then at the end of the night, I just tell people, write down what your high and your low was. What was something that one day you might want to tell your grandchildren, your neighbor, that you want someone to share at your funeral, whatever. It could be just for that day. And what was the low? What was something you say, you know what? Maybe I could have done better. So to the people who were interested in microdosing, educate yourself. Please don't microdose because you heard some 55-year-old who turned his life around and now microdosing. No. Microdosing, you've done some education. You've done some, you know, reading. You've maybe talked to one or two people. You've listened to some podcasts. You've heard some people. And then you say, you know what? I'm ready. And you journal. And you have intentions. And you citizen science. And you find some guidance, whether it's someone who's going to guide you and check up on you or someone who's going to guide you because they're going to really hold your hand. Whatever, someone who's going to talk to, right? Your local psychedelic association group, fine. You know what I mean? That's important. That community is important. And don't be scared to share, right? There's situations where, you know, I've had someone come up to me and say, well, you know, I'm married. I want to microdose. Does your spouse know? No. I'm not sure if that's a good idea. What are you talking about? It's not. I go, so you're going to have two situations. Your wife might see a change. And then she's going to ask you what's different, like what's going on, what's happening, right?
Yeah.
Or she might catch you or find out that you're doing it. And then what's going to happen? You're going to find yourself with a situation where someone who doesn't understand might have this backfire or something that's working for you. So right off the bat, say, you know what? I'd love for us to sit down and watch Fantastic Fungi.
Perfect.
I heard this is a beautiful documentary. It's amazing. Let's sit down and watch it. Yes. Oh, wow. Oh, wait. That mushrooms, they're not the enemy. No, mushrooms are the hero. And then you say, you know what? Here, I got one more. Let's watch How to Change Your Mind, but we're just going to watch the psilocybin one. We don't have to watch the LSD one. We don't have to watch the,
Michael
you know,
Pollan, right?
Exactly. So let's watch How to Change Your Mind, just the psilocybin. And then people are like, oh, wait a minute. Well, babe, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do because I have two options. I continue down the road I'm going, or I try this new. And most people are going to say, you know what? I trust you. I see that you've done some homework. This isn't someone, this isn't some fad. You know, I've heard people, my buddy's microdosing, so I'm going to, no, that's what you need to do. So that's the message is, do your homework. You know, this isn't a magic pill. If you don't have intentions, this isn't going to work. If you don't do the work, this isn't going to work. You have to do the work. You're the magic. That's you're the magic of microdosing. And like Van said, mindfulness. The moment you find that mindfulness flow, that's constant, right? That's like you're just on it. Then you found your right dosage. You found your right protocol, and continue that. Give yourself breaks. Definitely give yourself breaks. I usually, depending on projects that I have, I don't like to microdose more than 5 weeks. More than that, it's sort of, you know, sort of work the calendar backwards, and then take a good 2-3 weeks off. Yeah, you know, definitely. Give yourself some rest from the medicine. You know, sit with yourself, sit with your thoughts. You know, figure out who you are. And look, sometimes people look. You know, I've talked to people who say, "Well, I don't need to microdose anymore. I got it. I got the message," and that's awesome.
That's a really good point. The goal is to not be dependent on anything, but to implement something into your life that helps you to shift into a better state of mind or state of being is so important. I really like that you said, and I think this is such an important key part of the message too, is like, it's different for everyone. I always say everybody is different and everybody's different. Like everybody's body will metabolize it and internalize it and observe it differently. It may be a one-time thing for most. I've had friends who tried it once and they're like, not for me. Yeah. And also how you said, it's not a magic pill. It is a tool.
Correct.
This is not the only tool.
No.
And I just had Tomas from Mycozine on, really cool guy. And he touched on, and we probably talked for a good 10, 15 minutes on journaling or just that in general and how important and how just powerful that is in person. Like I could show you under my desk right now, I have a stack of notebooks from the last several years, you know, whether it's like writing affirmations or like writing goals. And I could flip back like 5 years and those things that I was writing are happening like right now. So if you inject your intentions, which is another powerful thing I like that you said, Caesar, is like the intention you have, why you're doing it, it'll help guide you towards that direction. It's kind of like a little bit of a booster to help move you into the things that you want to. So I think those are all really good points. Do you have any advice for perhaps someone who's new into the realm as far as like finding the, because there's so much information. What were some of like the most important informational sources that you found or that you stuck by along with you journaling and taking note of your experiences?
Okay, community, right? Find your people. I'm a big believer of find your people. Every major city has a psychedelic association, a psychedelic salon, a psychedelic community. Tap into them. I mean, that's a great resource. That's an incredible resource. The internet, like anything, step cautiously. There's a lot of wonderful information out there, whether it's someone like MAPS, there's great books out there, whether it's like Mastering Microdosing, you know, from Paul Austin. There's a lot of really good resources out there.
Yep.
Do your homework, you know what I mean? Look at studies, you know, look at studies. There's a great resource called Newly, which has, you know, latest publications and retreats. And there's a lot of clearinghouse spaces coming on board now to put together honest, safe, and objective information on psychedelics that I think are interesting. And again, that's needed too, right? That's part of this also. It's not just, there's so many realms that the psychedelic world can go down, right? That the possibilities are endless. And one of those is that, and it's great that that we have these resources now, right? Again, I go back to the same thing. This isn't the psychedelics of the 60s, right? This is the psychedelics of the information age, where it's like I can really find out, you know what I mean, much more information about my own healing and about my own potential and about how I can work with these medicines and, you know, how I can really, you know, move forward and be present in this space. So there's great resources out there. Again, they're at your fingertips, but mainly find your people, find your community. Find your local community, find, you know, tap into an organization near you and be part of it.
It's very true. Yeah. Community is so important. And I think that's something like when in the age of like everyone staring at their phones, to just look up and try to find the people around you who are doing these things.
Yeah.
I'm interested also just like outside of, you know, microdosing, other entheogens or psychedelics, have you tried or had any other great experiences from?
Definitely. That's a great question. And it was partly someone very wise when I got into all this realm And started manifesting the fact that psychedelics were awesome, that, that they changed people's lives. And, you know, I wanted to be this voice. Someone said, Caesar, well, like, how many other psychedelic substances have you sat with? And I was like, well, just mushrooms. And they're like, well, there's a lot more ways to open up your mind. You know what I mean? And maybe you should sit with some of these before, you know, you really, and then you really can become a thought leader. Then you really can come and speak from a voice of experience and not just someone. So I took that, not that I took it at heart, but I took that as really sound advice. I've had LSD, right? So I've tried LSD. I've microdosed LSD also. Totally different experience than microdosing psilocybin. So I've had Del there. But truly, truly the most profound experience I've had with a psychedelic substance was 5-MeO-DMT. Mm-hmm. They call it the God molecule for a reason. And it came at the end of a healing journey in Jamaica. And it was pretty much like the medicine followed me to Jamaica and said, wow. Here we are. Let's sit down. Let's have a conversation about you and how you need to be present and how about the fact that, you know, abundance is everywhere. Abundance is everywhere. It exists everywhere. You just have to see it. And the true, true message was that you're God. You're God. And yeah. She's God. And he's God. And they're God. Every single one of us is a God. How we portray ourselves, how we, you know, move forward in this, that's going to be the difference, you know, of how we portray, how we are we seen as gods. So that was definitely the message. It was incredibly profound. It changed the way I walk into things, right? The way, you know, not an arrogant God, but a loving God, a humble God, a believing in himself God, in believing in doing right God, in believing that one should manifest love you wealth and not fuck you wealth, right?
Yeah.
If you do that, if then it's fine. There's nothing wrong with manifesting wealth. And wealth isn't just money. Wealth is time, and wealth is time you spend with your family, and wealth is time you spend with community and wealth. So it's sort of when you manifest that type of situation, it's a lot easier to move forward. So that was really the message that came out of that BUFO experience. Incredibly powerful. So really, really powerful.
I'm interested, Caesar, in your mindset. You have such like a positive outlook on life. And then with microdosing, it's like on steroids. Do you have like a handful, if you had to say like 3 to 4 things that you hold dearly to your soul, like pillars of belief systems in your life, what are some of those things?
Again, number one, right now, today is the best day of your life. The best day of your life is today.
Yeah.
The only one you have. That's number one. Number two, everything in life, you need to do it with 3 things in mind. Number one, you have to love, because love is such more of a better feeling and situation than anything else. Okay.
Yeah.
Number two, you have to forgive. Forgiveness, not for the other thing, the other person, but for oneself. Because when you forgive, then you don't carry something. And number three, move forward, right? Because when you move forward, you're not sitting in that back. So definitely, those are 3 pillars of my life that I carry forward. And at the end, believe that every day is a new day, that there's a miracle around every corner. There's a potential to change your life every single day. Life is not over until it's over. So act like it's not over. There's a miracle around every corner. Like I said, love, forgive, move forward, and spread much love, right? That's sort of, I think if you do that, if you live the present moment, if you live right now as the best day of your life, if you spread much love, if you love, forgive, move forward, right? And you believe in yourself, then life is easy. Life is easy. The rest is just complications that we give ourselves.
Good point. I'm interested in, with what you're doing moving forward, where do you believe in the next 1 to 3, 5 years the industry is going to kind of go, and how do you want to be a part of that, or what are some things you want to kind of inject into the future going forward?
All right. I want to be present for my community. I have 6% left battery. So can we, are you able to cut this? Let me just connect the computer. I don't want it to cut off.
Oh, we're just about there. No worries.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want it. Good. All right. Cool.
I see you looking at the phone. Don't worry. I got you. Yeah. Don't worry.
We're almost there. No. I saw 6% left on the computer. I got anxious. Where do I want to be present for the space? I want to be a voice for my community. I want to be a voice for my older generation community, the Generation Xers. But I also know that I need to be present and I need to be a voice for the Latino community, right? Being Hispanic, I owe it to the Hispanic community to give them some information. So that's important to me. That's where I want to step forward. Where I see the industry in a year, that's a great question. And it's a really good question because, again, we need to step. Some people ask, well, why aren't we up here? Like, why is anybody doing psychedelics and why isn't it up here? Well, we're not up here because we're right here. And 12 months ago, we were down here.
Yeah.
So we have to take these steps. So I'm cautious of where we go. Like, I would love to say, you know what? In a year, MDMA is approved, FDA, you can go to your doctor. They'll just prescribe it to it. You'll be fine. Psilocybin is right around the corner. But let's be honest. We're a headline away from someone doing cartwheels on a highway and causing a 20 car pileup from someone saying, you see, I told you so.
Yeah.
I told you psychedelics are bad.
Very true.
But at the same time, we could be at the forefront of saying, you know what? We found incredible healing for veterans.
Yeah.
Like vets, you know what I mean? And look, dude, you wore a uniform. Yeah. Thank you for your service. You know, I have a kid that right now wears a uniform, right?
What so branch?
Something. He's in the Army. He's right now at Ranger School.
That's amazing. You
know, shouts out to him. Yeah. Yeah.
How long has he been in the Army?
2 years. 2 years. He's the first.
Dang,
he went. Yeah, he went ROTC through college. You know, right away signed. And then said, look, I want to be a leader by example. I want to go to Ranger School. So he's right now in the midst of that. So hats off to him, man. That's a different anyone listen, hats off to anyone who's worn a uniform. Thank you for your service, man.
Thank you
for that. That's even though it's funny because a lot of people in this space who have worn the uniform, when I tell them thank you for your service, a lot of them say to me, the service is just starting.
That's right. Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, it's so different. Like it's such a needed message for that community of people. I honestly personally don't do a lot of military outreach. I have a lot of close friends who are military, a lot of my followers. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's this information is just so important, and I can't thank you enough for making some time to share your experiences. I have just two very short lasting questions for you. The last question I always like to ask everybody who comes on the show, it's kind of a interpret as you may question. You can answer it long form, short form, but that is Caesar of Cultivating Wisdom. Every day, in which ways? How are you growing in mind, body, spirit, and mushroom?
Wow, that's a great question. The way I grow every day is by being present, right? That being present means that I wasn't perfect yesterday. It's hard. You know, I'm going to try to be as consistent as possible today, and I know that I could be a better human tomorrow. So I'm present in myself by being mindful, and that's how I'm present in not just my community, but my space, everyone around me. And that grounding is what comes from the mushrooms, right? I really feel that, you know, with mushrooms coming into my life, it's connected me almost like a mycelial network to the things around me, to the people around me, to reality and humanity in a ways that it's never happened.
That's right. Lasting question here. Most importantly, how can people?
That was a great question, though. That was really.
That's my favorite. I know it's kind of a broad, that's why I say answer it long form, short form, because I've gotten 5 minute long answers, but to the point and very accurate answers. So, I think it's important. That's kind of the intentionality of going forward. That. You know, for everybody to take the information they heard here today and then to go forward with it. So, Caesar. In what ways can people, where can they find you? How can they get in contact with you? And how can they most support you going forward?
So
this is time for you to plug all your stuff. Yeah.
Definitely go to cultivatingwisdom.net. That's the apparel brand. Part of our proceeds go to Vet Solutions. So, you know what I mean? We want to give back. I can go back to the same thing, manifesting love you well, right? Not F you well. So that definitely check out the apparel brand. We're going to come out with a new line of shirts for the springtime right now. You know what I mean? It's about starting these conversations. You know what I mean? Starting to cultivate wisdom. So you can find us there. You can also find me on Instagram, which is cultivating.wisdom. That's the platform for me for, you know what, look, if you need your parents, you need someone to talk to your parents about microdosing, Caesar's the one to come. If you know someone who might need some help, you know what I mean, sort of their childhood curiosity has been poked at, it's always a good avenue to have there. We're moving into creating webinars for people to really learn how to reinvent their lives at any age. I was able to do it at an age where many people are just ready to just give up and, you know, it's over. I completely reinvented myself, so it's sort of giving people those tools. And we're also putting together a 6-part series on how to create a safe and effective microdosing practice, mainly for people over 50, because there's a lot of issues for people over 50. There's, you know, people addressing younger age, but mainly for that, but for really just intentionally changing your life at any time. So, you know, Instagram is, again, like I said, cultivating.wisdom, the apparel brand, cultivatingwisdom.net. Let's go. How about if I create a microtopic 20 discount code so all your followers get a 20% discount at the apparel brand? So let's
dang,
do that.
Okay.
So again, it's about cultivating wisdom. It's about starting conversations, right? It's sort of, you know what, that you could wear a shirt that's like this, that's got obviously the molecule. And if
love
you know,
that.
You know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you know, you know. And if you don't know, you ask. And then it's like, you start conversations. That's what the apparel is about. The apparel is about starting conversations. And I get it. Look, there's people that might not be able to, but maybe you know a friend who's a microdoser and who wants to manifest the fact that it's again, it's having these open conversations. That's what cultivating wisdom wants to do. You go back to what you talked about, that setting buffet tables of wisdom to cultivate a better future.
Yep, that's right. And something that I wrote down, the very like one of the last sentences on your like your bio was, luckily the trip has only just begun. I think the trip has only just begun. We'd love to have you back on, and you know,
I would love
maybe
to
like
go back on
4 to 6 month time frame to see, you
definitely,
know what you're doing, catch everybody up on what you're doing, how you're doing. Caesar Marin of Cultivating Wisdom, thank you so much for coming on today, man. We really appreciate it. If you guys enjoyed this episode, make sure to give it a like wherever you're listening at, 5-star review, comment down below in the comment section, and of course subscribe for future content moving forward. Don't forget to give Caesar a follow as well. And if you guys would like to learn more about how to grow your own mushrooms, your own medicine, this is my plug too. Go to my Patreon, patreon.com/microtrophic. You guys can join my Discord server community and learn how to grow your own mushrooms. Caesar, thank you so much, man. This was such a great, and it was an honor to have you on and to talk to you today. And I hope you have a blessed week, a blessed day, and namaste. Have a great day. Don't contemplate.
Namaste.
Meditate, and we'll see you guys on the next one. Bye, guys.
Much love.
Peace.